talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Brr is all I got to say about the weather. Currently, it's 23 degrees in Elk City. Wind chill of 7. It's been going down constantly all morning. Winds are out of the northeast at 24 miles an hour, gusting up to 32. And as we all know, a northeast wind always has moisture in it, and it just cuts through you like a knife. Let's see what some of our temperatures are around in our listening area. Cheyenne, you're at 22, Arnett, 19, Camargo, 21, Altus, 27, Hobart's 25, Hollis is 26, Wheeler is 19, and I got wind while ago, it was snowing in Wheeler. So, hey, the text line's open. Tell me what it's doing in your area if you want to, if it's snowing or sleeting or icing or whatever, at 580-225-9697. Well, my wife had a surprise birthday party for me last night. I turned a big 6-0 today. Anyway, it was great. I got to see a lot of friends I hadn't seen in a while, and it was just great. My father-in-law and mother-in-law, Bruce and Karen, they drove all the way from Billings, Oklahoma, come to the party, and then they went home again last night because they was expecting bad weather just like we are here. So they went back home last night. And my favorite ex-mother-in-law was in the same room. Norma was there. So anyway, I'm always happy to see her. I give her hell, but she's been good to me. So anyway, just lots of friends was there, and I appreciate it. And then today, right before the show, I got a rose delivered, a yellow rose, the yellow rose of Texas, a nice flower set up. Thank you, Jennifer and Bobby, for that. Appreciate that. And I'm also, if you're watching, we're streaming live on KCOFM, and we're streaming live on Facebook. My little buddy Ruger Ripito gave me a happy birthday badge last night at the party, and I'm wearing it today. So all is good. Well, they set out some new rules for me. I forgot to tell you guys about it yesterday. They set out some new rules for Jimmy Clark on the Today in Ag show. I come straight from wherever, where I'm checking cows, heifers, baling, whatever I'm doing. I come straight from there and I come to work. Well, yesterday they told me that I had to change shoes before I come in the radio station anymore because the radio station was starting to smell like Today in Ag. So anyway, I got to change shoes before I come in the station because some cow poop got on the carpet, so I'm in trouble. So anything, all's good there. Kent Watkins is here with me from SEI Agritech. Today's first Wednesday of the month, and he's always here, and he's got some good things to talk about today. You guys don't want to go anywhere, so I'll get this first segment out of the way. Hard red winter wheat, 731. It was 754 when I got to work early this morning, and so it's taking a dive today. Corn, 626. Milo, 624. Soybeans ain't taking a dive. They're taking a dive up, if you want to call that. 1465. Cotton's just hanging in there, $1.27 a pound. Soybean futures surged in overnight trading amid renewed concerns about South American crops and rising cooking oil prices globally. Brazilian Ag Rule said it now expects the production for soybeans in the South American country to come to 128.5 million metric tons, and that's down from the 133.4 million tons. The USDA said last month it sees Brazilian soybean output at 139, which was down from December of 144. Also boosting futures are rising prices for cooking oils. The price of palm oil, a direct competitor with soybean oil, on the global market has continued to hit fresh record highs in recent days amidst strong demand. The Malaysian palm oil futures are up over 60% from year over year. That pushes prices up for soybean oil, in turn boosting soybean futures. But it cost our feed to go up. But anyway, soybean futures for March delivery jumped 22 and three quarter cents to $15.51 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was up $4.80 to $440.80 a short ton, and soybean oil futures gained 0.77 cents to 66.6 cents a pound. Corn futures for March delivery gained 2.5 cents to $6.37 a bushel. Wheat for March delivery added 2 cents to $7.71 a bushel, while Kansas City futures rose 3 cents to $7.89 a bushel. Well, wheat futures have backed off their highs in recent days as tensions between Russia and Ukraine seem to have eased a bit. Prices on January 25th surged to the highest level in almost 2 months after Russia sent some troops to the border of Ukraine. Global government leaders condemned the buildup and said if Russia was to attack Ukraine, sanctions would be imposed against Moscow, according to media reports. Since then, however, talks between U.S. and Russian diplomats in a bid to avoid a physical war have progressed. The country traded barbs at a recent meeting at the United Nations Security Council, but for the moment at least, it seems the war has been avoided. The declining prices in the past week, most of those price gains made since the middle of January. It seems that the market now believes this risk is to be low. Still, the conflict is not over and talks about going have been going especially well, so there's still a good possibility prices will rebound amidst ongoing tensions between Russia and Ukraine. That means wheat futures might return to their lofty levels soon. It wouldn't be surprising to see wheat exports affected by the conflict, considering Russia is the world's largest exporter of wheat and Ukraine the third. And as I told you yesterday, the United States is fourth and Australia in second. Russia is forecast to export 35 million metric tons of grain this year. Ukraine is expected to export 24.2 million. The U.S. is projected to be the fourth largest shipper at 22.5 million tons. Well, I guess you guys all know we got a winter storm warning all over. Actually, this is a big storm. It basically goes from out west of us here all the way to the east coast. So this is a big storm. Winter storm warnings have been issued for New Mexico through the southern Midwest all the way to the northeast into Vermont, according to the maps from the National Weather Service. In southwestern Kansas and the Oklahoma Panhandle, heavy snowfall with accumulations up to 8 inches are expected. A winter storm warning in the area remains in effect till 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. In central Illinois, meanwhile, the same warning has been issued and will remain in place till 6 o'clock tomorrow night. Up to 16 inches of snow and 1/4 inch of sleet are expected. Winds are forecast to gust up to 40 miles an hour. Travel is expected to be difficult in all effective areas of this deal. I think we're in a little hole in our listening area that we're not going to get hammered like the rest of Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle is, but it's still, it's cold, it's miserable. I know people got calving going on. I'm one of them. In my travels back and forth to home and down to Carter and Willow to get hay and stuff, there's a lot of baby calves on the ground and a lot more to come. So make sure you take care of your animals, and it's a critical time. I was reading where the calf is born, its body temperature's at 101, somewhere there, right above 100, and it hits this ground out here, and especially with heifers. If they don't get them cleaned up, that's when the dam, it doesn't matter whether there's snow on the ground, wet makes it worse, but it just doesn't matter. If this cold temperature's wind chill to 8, it won't take long to cause frostbite on the ears and the tail, and could be not too good on the calf, period. Worst case scenario. So anyway, as soon as the show's over and I get it uploaded, I'm going to check. I put out I use some of my old oil fill technology. I put out a couple of frac tanks out there, thanks to Mark with Superheaters here in Elk City. In the end, just for a wind block, because I don't have any trees or anything in that pasture, I got these heifers in, and they were all bundled up against it this morning. So my idea worked. So anyway, hopefully no baby gets smashed or nothing, but there's plenty of room. Two frac tanks is a big distance. It's basically 100 foot. Anyway, it worked out good. Well, when we get back, Kent and I got some talking to do, so you guys do not go nowhere. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisei, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisei, Oklahoma.
My background is in AI service. If you're doing that, you're more progressive. You're not going to the sale barn and buying a bull for the cheapest you can get. You're searching for better genetics. You're searching for a better quality product. Just like, do you go down to the used car store and buy the car with all the dents and dings, or do you want the new car? We decided we'd start building our own pretty vehicles rather than going paying the price for the pretty vehicle. B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Jim is all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All right. Ken and I are back, and temperature is not getting any better. It's not going to. It's still 23, wind chills at 7, wind still out of the northeast at 24, gusting to 31. It's cold, isn't it, Kent?
It is cold.
Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech is on the show with me today, and he brought in a thick book today. And so, anyway, this ought to be good. I always enjoy Kent. His knowledge is very well spoken of around the country around here. He knows what he's talking about, and so that's why he's on the show. I got reliable information coming out of his mouth. So anyway, welcome to the show today, Kent.
Well, appreciate it. There wasn't a lot going on today except cattle feeding and that kind of thing. So.
Yeah, and yeah, that's what's going on today.
That's what's going on today. I do have a disclaimer right off the bat. I've had a couple of people ask me if I get paid from Regen Ag Labs to talk about their lab services. I do not get anything from Regen Ag Lab.
Okay.
They are just the best out there. They're the most up-to-date. They have all the state-of-the-art stuff. That's why I recommend
them. Yep.
I do sell next-gen cotton seed, syngenta corn seed, cover crop seed, ag chemical, LNC feed. But I don't get anything from Regen Ag Lab.
Okay, cool.
Anyway.
Yeah, it's good because you're not the only one. There's a lot of people that use them.
Yep.
You know, there's other agronomists that refer that because, and there's a reason. They're good.
They're absolutely the best there is.
They're more detailed.
Yes, they. If people will start using them, they'll be surprised at the information they get back. And on that line, the first thing I want to talk about today is soil sampling. it's a good, maybe not today or tomorrow, maybe not this week, but it's a good time to get it done.
Yes.
I mean, just go out there, and I know it's pure drudgery for everybody who, whenever you go do that, especially if you've got multiple farms, but it's probably the best $50 you'll spend this year doing that. It's a good time of year to do it. This is a good year to know exactly what you have. And if you will spend a little extra money and send it to Regen Ag Lab, the report you'll get back will tell you exactly what you have in your soil profile so that you're not buying fertility that you don't need in a year when fertility is extremely high.
Okay.
So,
is there, before you get into that more detailed on the soil test, when you go to your, say you got 80 acres, okay, and you go out there, what's the best, not one spot, you need to take different, because, you know, every field's got a weak spot and a strong spot.
Right. So what I'd recommend is, no matter how big the field is, pull multiple samples. Make sure your shovel or whatever you're using to pull with is clean. Make sure the bucket's clean. And then all they need is a Ziploc, a quart-size Ziploc bag. That's the only, that's plenty, because they're just going to pull a sample out of about a double teaspoon.
Right.
That's all they're going to use out of that. Then they keep that soil sample. They'll keep that sample for a while in case there's a question and they need to rerun it. They have a sample and they can do a rerun.
I gotcha.
So I would tell you on an 80, pull 10 places. Avoid the weakest and avoid the strongest. Just kind of a shotgun approach.
Okay.
If you want to get more technical than that, you can do grid sampling if you want to. That's, as far as I'm concerned, there's a lot of things we can fix without going to that expense pretty easily.
Okay.
The other thing I would tell you, in a year with extremely high fertility prices, commercial fertilizer prices, the snake oils are going to start, you're going to start hearing about the miracles in the jug. Typically, the snake oil is two bull snakes and a water moccasin in a jug is really what it is.
Well, that's one way of putting it.
I mean, really, I mean, it's a promise that's never kept. So beware of the big box store sales reps,
okay,
coming to you with the new promise, because they're very rarely kept.
Right.
It's really, it's not, it doesn't have to be as hard as everybody wants to make it. If you're using a lot of commercial fertilizers, I still recommend that you yourself off over time.
Okay. Yeah.
So,
well, that's yeah, because I always just go out there and pick a spot like the my wheat field. They're, you know, they're broke up pretty small. I go out there where, kind of like the way you talk, one end of my field's really good. The top end, the higher part of the elevation, is not really good. So I go out there in the middle because that's where I get my average crop.
Yeah, just don't pull your samples out of a gopher mound.
Well, it's so easy.
It is easy. And if you send Junior out there to do it and he's back in 30 minutes, I can promise you that soil sample is not any good. So you're going to waste your money.
What about badger holes?
No, I wouldn't do that one either. And I'm sure that's been done.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I've thought about it. Man, I can fill my bag up right here.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, again, this is absolutely the year to pull soil samples. I don't care where you send them. Regen Ag is by far the best, but if you're just going to send them to a regular university lab, that's fine. You can get some information there, but this probably is the year
to get serious.
To get serious about it so that you don't overspend, because it is going to be extremely hard to make a profit in row crops this year. Extreme, because of high fertility prices and high chemical prices.
Right.
You realize that a truckload of glyphosate, generic Roundup, or branded either one, is about $350,000 now.
Oh, what's that figured out? About 20,000 a tote, or close to?
Just a little bit short. Yeah.
Short of it.
On a 22 tote truck.
And it's hardly works hardly anymore.
Yeah, and it's and that's just it. It's on, and, you know, it's on a product that doesn't work very well anymore.
Right.
You know, a year ago this time, could have bought that same truckload for just a little bit over $100,000.
It's like liquid gold right now.
Yeah, and it's not liquid gold.
Yeah, but it's priced like it.
It's priced like it.
Yeah.
It is.
Yep.
So I've had some people in the last month start figuring budgets, and they're figuring out that they're going to spend about $100 an acre on four or five applications of Roundup on a product that doesn't work very well. They're going to spend a couple hundred dollars on fertilizer, and then they're still not even close to finished. So that you need to watch every penny this year. Be aware of the snake oils and the promises that just won't be kept.
Yeah, because the input costs are stupid.
Yeah, they're going to be out through the roof.
Yeah.
And like I've said before, you're not only going to have a yield this year, you're going to have price too.
Right.
And that still may not be enough.
Right.
It really may not.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, the prices, well, I mean, corn and Milo, according to what I report every day, has been pretty steady over $6 the last two or three, this year. And but wheat, man, just depends on what politician opens its mouth that day. It is, like I said, it dropped 19 cents in 2 hours right this morning just because, well, we've avoided a war.
Yeah. Well, and wheat, you know, wheat is, whether it's soft or hard red, it doesn't matter. We grow wheat in every state in the union.
Yep.
We grow it all around the world. We can fill the pipeline up from a world standpoint whenever we choose to.
Yeah.
So, you know, $8 wheat doesn't impress me when you're looking at $1,000 urea, you know, and $40 or $50 herbicide shot and a $20 fungicide shot. It is $8 doesn't cut it on the yields that we grow here.
Right.
You know, if we were able to grow 80 bushels, maybe so, but not on 20, 25 bushels. And typically, in a dryland wheat field, that's what we grow in this little area here. Now, you move further east where they get a little more rainfall, 35 to 40. And you hear about those 50 bushel yields. Yeah, occasionally, but not generally.
Yeah.
Not generally.
Well, like last year, you know, we were in a spring drought.
Yes.
And then we got that one rain that really helped. Our quantity didn't go up.
Nope.
By no means, but the quality was good.
Quality was good.
And some guys made a little extra because their quality was high, but their input was half what it's going to be this year.
That's right. And wheat is in serious trouble in western Oklahoma this year.
Oh, it's.
And the Texas Panhandle in North Texas. It's in serious trouble.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of winter kill whenever we break dormancy. And I hope we get some moisture to break dormancy with, because if we don't, we're really going to have some winter kill.
Yeah, yeah. And Kansas, I mean.
Western Kansas is horrible.
Yeah, western Kansas is horrible, and it's just. If you guys are just joining in here right now, I got Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech here in Elk City on the show with me. And we started out talking about soil sampling, and him and I get sidetracked every now and then. But anyway, but we're talking about input cost and stuff, and it's good stuff. I mean, it's good stuff that he brings up, and we've been talking about it. Well, Kent brought it up last month, first week of December. He brought it up about you need to start thinking about your cost and not just do your normal thing, because he just said truckload of Roundup right now is over $350,000 when it's usually right at $100,000. Well, who buys a truckload of chemical like that? Not very many people around here, but it doesn't.
Some do.
Some, but it doesn't matter. It's by the gallon.
That's right.
And so, whether you're the little guy or the big guy.
That's right.
And so, anyway, so we're joining here, and let's continue on.
Okay, so I always try to bring in a little known fact that I want people to think about it whenever I say it. So, here's the little-known fact for this month. We all pretty much have agreed that two-thirds of the Earth's surface is covered in water. So of the 35% that's left, 38% of that is bare ground. Now think about that. Of the third of the ground left that's not covered in water, 38% of that is bare. Not grow anything.
Huh.
That's when I read that. That was shocking to me, and I'm back and made sure that was correct. And it is. It is. So that 38% bare ground that we have right now if we don't change the way we do agriculture around the world, that number is just going to grow, because bare ground produces heat, and heat pushes the rain clouds away. So the bigger area you have that is bare, it's just going to expand and expand and expand. So we have to be mindful of that, I think.
Yeah, yeah, I would think.
You know, and it, you know, guys that are my age and your age now, you're elderly now, you're 60.
Thanks. So,
I mean, we can remember this country back when we were kids. It was wall-to-wall cotton for the most part.
Yep, I do remember it.
Okay, and we got those summer showers, those cotton showers, and if you was out chopping cotton, you was begging for one so you could quit.
Yep.
But before that, this country was wall-to-wall broom corn. You know, it just was. And it rained. And I'm not saying we didn't have drought years, because we did.
You're right.
But those summer rains that we used to get pretty frequently, we don't get them anymore nearly as frequently.
Yeah, because this last summer was a rarity for us.
Yeah, July, 10 inches in July.
Yeah, that doesn't happen.
That doesn't happen. But the one way to help combat this bare ground trend that we have going worldwide is really the first pillar of soil health, and that's to keep the ground covered up and cooled off. If we'll just do that, we'll go a long ways towards reversing that bare ground trend. And what that means is leave the tillage tools in the tree row. You know, get the no-till planter or get the no-till drill and do that. And it may not be pretty, but who really cares?
Right.
I don't really care what it looks like.
Yeah. As long as it's growing a crop.
Yeah. It's got, you either have to be growing a cover crop or a cash crop. You keep the ground covered up as much as possible. And you can drive by my place right now, and I've got a little bit of it blowing right now. Right now, my place looks like a black and white episode of Gunsmoke. Okay. It really does.
Well, hang on to where you're at right there. We're going to take a break. I got Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech in here with me. We've been talking about soil samples. We're talking about cover crops now and just being a good steward of the land and talking about the way it used to be. So we got lots to discuss. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, January 28th. 879 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 455 brought 215. 14 at 573 brought 184. 3 at 632 brought 153. 54 at 698 brought 163.25. 9 at 753 brought 147. 7 head of heifers at 326 brought 169. 9 at 449 brought 155. 11 at 525 brought 149. 3 at 543 brought 155. 29 at 662 brought 152.50. Butcher cows were 25 to 84, butcher bulls 75 to 107.50, bred cows 500 to 1385, pairs brought 525 to 1435. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Mind Money Tracker is a function on our mobile banking app. We started with a template, but it really was in the hands of First National to customize the app to be what it wants to be. As more things come out, as reality changes, as the world changes, the app will constantly be updated with new functionalities so that budgeting can still be made easy and can still be right at your fingertips, because that's our goal at First National, is to give you access to your money at all times.
I'm Kelsey Werner, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City.
Member FDIC.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
23 degrees, wind chill 7. I hadn't looked outside. I hadn't got any texts. Is anybody out there in the Wheeler or Shamrock area or somewhere up by Arnett or something? Let me know if it's snowing up there yet, if you would, please. And the winds are still out of the northeast at 23 to 32 miles an hour. Man, I got out there this morning, checked those heifers right after a daybreak, after a birthday party, and whew, I didn't dress heavy enough, but luckily I carry an arsenal of clothes in my truck. Anyway, everything's good. Well, Kent Watkins from SEI Agritech's in here with me, and we've been talking about soil samples and cover crops, and we're going to continue our conversation.
Okay, so I had a thought, and I think it would work. It would take some political willpower to make it work, but if the FSA office, USDA, NRCS, if they would not pay farmers for every program under the sun and just focus on one program, pay them $100 an acre to grow cover crops. You can grow a cover crop for a lot less than $100 an acre on the southern plains.
I'm in.
It would be easily verified. It would be simple. You could verify it with satellite imaging to know whether the guy really did it or didn't.
Right.
Or he cut it for hay. Leave his options open so he can do with it what he wants. It would go a long way. The United States, if we did that and did that on a national basis, we would, in 1 year, completely reverse the bare ground trend worldwide. And we could start it right here in the United States, show the model that works. Other countries would jump on board.
Gotcha.
It's just another idea, but it could be done if you had the political will.
Well, I know you're not a climatologist, and neither am I. But if a lot of the bare ground that's bare right now was covered somehow or another, cover crop or whatever, I wonder if the temperature of the earth would go down.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yep.
It stands to reason that it would.
Yeah.
So,
and I know we're talking about farming, but you know, you can look at the difference in cattle by just looking at them. Where you, and I'm not dogging on anybody here, I'm just stating a fact that you can see, is, you know, where there's minimum to maximum overgrazing going on in pasture, and right next to it is a field that's got plenty of grass and, you know, is not overgrazed. You can see the difference in the way the cattle's attitude.
Sure.
By just looking at them.
Sure.
There's a lot of difference. Those cattle over there in that pasture where grass is has got lots of attitude. You know, you
yep.
can tell.
And they feel better.
Yeah, they feel better. Exactly. There's a good word for it.
Yeah, they feel better. And the other thing is where you have a lot of grass, whether it's a summer cover crop, and I'll just use that for an example, versus where you don't in the summertime. All the cows go and get in the trees. If there are trees, they'll go get in the trees. If you have a lot of grass out there, whether it's a hay grazer type grass or whatever, they're not in the trees typically. They're out laying in the grass because
yeah.
it's cooler.
Yeah, or and they probably graze more.
Yeah.
Well, there's more to graze.
And there's more to graze, and they're there. They're not laid up in the tree rows waiting on the sun to go down.
Right.
I'm going to talk about this every time I'm on. It's the five pillars of soil health.
Okay.
First one for the southern plains, without a doubt, is armor on the soil.
Okay.
You got to get the ground covered up. Low disturbance, so that means leave the tillage equipment in the tree row.
Okay.
Just quit. Just stop. Living root in the soil as many days out of the year as possible, because you have that underground herd of microbes that you have to keep going. So if you feed the microbes will feed everything above ground. It's the diversity of the plants that you plant. So if it's cover crop, don't do a monoculture. Do a multi-species cover crop. If you can interseed with your cash crop, do that as well. Harvest is a consideration that you need to take into consideration before you start planting into that. But if you can deal with that, do it. If you can't, that's fine. And then the last one, some farms can, some farms can't, is livestock. So if you can incorporate the livestock, you'll get there a lot faster. But if you can't, that's okay.
And explain the incorporating livestock.
Okay, so it's the manure, urea, everything that goes with the livestock. If you will take the time to sell graze, tighten those cattle up in a smaller area, your distribution of urine and manure is concentrated more. You'll get a lot more benefit out of it. To the point that you can eliminate petroleum commercial fertilizer. Well, that'd be pretty helpful right now if that had been done a year ago.
Right.
So consider that. And I'm not saying if you got 20 farms, go do that on 20 farms. I'm saying go do it on one, prove the concept. And
incorporate it on the rest of them if it works.
Yeah. And as you learn how, and there is a little bit of a learning curve, but it's not that big. I mean, I could do it. Anybody could. Learn how.
Even
learn
as little. Old as you are?
Yes. Even as elderly as I am, I was able to do it. And then just, you know, learn and go from there. And not one system works for everybody. Make the system work for you.
Yeah.
But I got to where I could put out 1,000 foot of hot wire and pick up 1,000 foot of hot wire in 30 minutes.
Right.
So it's not that big a deal.
Yeah.
It's just not.
Yep.
The other thing that I wanted to touch on was climate change. Politicians like to scream about climate change because they can make a lot of money. Truth of the matter is, climate's been changing every minute of every day since day one.
Right.
And it's going to continue. If you remember 10 years ago, it wasn't climate change. It wasn't climate change. It was global warming. Remember?
Yep.
Until they figured out that wasn't happening, but they still needed to generate the money that that buzzword generated, so they changed the word to climate change. Climate's changing all the time. Now, that's getting wore out. So now they want to talk about carbon sequestration.
I read it every day.
There's a $10 word right there.
Yep. Carbon credits. Carbon credits.
Carbon credits. Carbon sequestration. So if you think about how does that work, carbon sequestration, how does it work? If you remember back in your biology class, what they taught, and it's true, that the forest and the jungles were the lungs for the world.
Right.
They had scrubbed out carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere, and when the leaves fell or when a rain came, it washed it to the ground, and it was stored in the ground. That's reasonably true. Okay, so in the United States, we have forest, but we don't have any jungles. We have swamps, but we have something better in the ag world than jungles. Because we're productive as far as crop production. So in the South, we have alfalfa, cotton, corn, sugar cane, all these different crops, and they all sequester carbon dioxide out of the air. In the North, it's basically alfalfa, corn, and soybeans. So with that, if you want to pull the carbon dioxide out of the air and store it in the ground, these summer and winter crops is absolutely the best way to do that. And they're not going to do it at any additional cost to anybody. But politicians don't want to hear that because they can't make any money at that. But what we do in ag eliminates the climate talk right off the bat. The United States, whatever carbon footprint we have in the United States, the American farmer takes that to zero every year, and they do it by July. what's going on in that period of time. In the north, the soybeans and the corn are being grown.
Yep.
They're getting their solar panels on in their leaves, and they're catching carbon dioxide. In the south, the cotton, the corn, sugarcane, whatever it is being grown. So between the north and the south, east and west, the American farmer is sequestering 100% of the carbon footprint for this country, and we do it every year.
Yep.
So I just want people to think about that.
Well, hang on to that thought right there and let them think about it, and let's go to a break. When I get back, I'll give you the Long Ranger, and Kent and I will finish up because I have a question for him on what he's talking about here on the carbon footprint of what's going on, and he's right on the money. You don't hear that stuff, but we don't have, not to get political on this show, because you know, guys that know I don't get too political. I read what's going on, but I move on. But he's right, because Al Gore started this whole thing.
He invented the internet.
But anyway, and then I read somewhere where, you know, the Amazon is losing a lot of their deal because they're clearing a lot of stuff out down there and stuff. And then this has been a couple of years ago since I seen that article. But then this guy come back with the article and explained it almost identical to what you just said. It's not the Amazon that's helping the United States. Oh. We're doing it ourselves.
We're doing it ourselves, and we do it every year.
But they're here. I've seen here in the last month, it's just carbon coming up about every ag web there is. So anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at knutsonirrigation.com.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hello, this is Sean Wyatt. I have a cow-calf operation, and I buy my feed from Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. Kent will provide the best service possible. I highly recommend giving SEI Agritech a call about your feed and minerals.
If you want better feed and better results, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City, your local Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, located on South Randall in Elk City.
This is Jerry Nunn, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First service Thursday, February the 3rd. We have in the yard right now 550 cattle. Give us a call to find out what time we'll start. From Shattuck, got 89 heifers, 7 to 8. Cheyenne, 155 steers, never 6.5 to 8. Moreland, 57 steers, never 6 to 7. Camargo, got 86 steers, never 7 to 8, 50. Dodge City, Kansas, 22 bull and heifer kids at 5. In Kittaquay, Texas, 80 heifers, few steers at 7. Again, with the weather, we have 550 head in the yard. As of Wednesday morning, give us a call to find out what time we'll start. On Tuesday, very good killing cow and bull market. Killing cows 1 to 2 higher again. Bull 6 to 8 higher. Cows topped at 86.5, and we sell one bull for 113. Give us a call. Thanks again, Jerry Nine and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. See their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Had to swallow my candy hole. Come on quicker than I thought I was going. Oh, hang on. Let me get us back live. There we go. We're back live. As you guys remember, I'm streaming live on Facebook, and we're also streaming live on KECOFM.com. And we started the streaming live on our website last week. We've got through our figuring it out, and it's going good, so hang on, let me get back to this since I did that. All right, let's do the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. We are under a winter weather advisory until 6 p.m. tomorrow. Wind chill advisory till noon Friday. And man, it's going to be cold. I feel for my baby's being born. It's going to be born today because I checked him this morning. Bags are full and burr. And also got in a couple texts from people. Got some from Briscoe, Texas. Snow on the ground. And one of my favorite people, Lori Campbell, she texted in. She's not on a horse today. And the reason why I know this is because the cattle are all in line, so I know there's cake on the ground, and there's tire tracks through the snow. So she's not on a horse, so I don't feel sorry for her today. So anyway, out Wheeler, no snow, according to one person. So anyway, it's coming down. Today, 90% chance of snow, 25 for high, and we've been going backwards anyway, so that ain't going to happen. Tonight, cold. 8 degrees, 70% chance of snow. Tomorrow, 50% chance of snow, 18 miles an hour, or 18 for a high tomorrow. From now till tomorrow evening, it looks like our wind is just going to be blowing. This is a strong storm. Tomorrow night, 6 degrees for low, 31 Friday, 41 Saturday, 49 Sunday. We're creeping back up to where we need to be. This is going to be a cold week. You know, We've been pretty lucky this winter.
Yeah, so far.
Yeah, we're going to complain why it's going on right now, but we've been really lucky. Only thing is, guy texted in a deal a while ago on the ag hotline here. He said, I got signs up in my place, no calving between 9 p.m. and 5 a.m. in the morning. Good luck with that one.
Yeah. So, that'll be neat.
Today's actually the first time that I fed in the morning with these heifers. I've been feeding them for the last 2 months, but I felt for them, so I had to put it on the ground. So anyway, it's 25 and Sharon, it's cold. Anyway, I can't repeat what the rest of that says. Anyway.
I want to keep your job.
Yeah, I want to keep my job. Anyway, I don't want to lose any listeners. But anyway,
I understand.
We were talking about carbons, and you were explaining, you know, we can't survive without our jungles, but we got our own jungle right here in the United States, and you hit it right on the spot.
Yeah, I have in some of my slideshows that I do, I have one slide that shows it perfectly. And you see the carbon building up in the atmosphere until June and July. It's satellite imagery. It's real. It's not Hollywood. It's real.
Right.
And by July, it's gone. And it's all been sequestered to the ground.
Right.
And it's being cycled. So the plants are taking it back up and reusing it. So let's talk about carbon credits, because that seems to be the hot topic right now.
Yeah. We got off the Packers, now we're on carbon credits.
Yeah, so here's the absolute truth as we know it today. You're not going to get paid for storing carbon in the Southern Plains. We cannot store carbon in the Southern Plains. We cycle it way too fast. There won't be any payments of any kind of any significance for anybody in the southern two-thirds of the nation. So draw a line from the South Dakota and Nebraska line east of the Atlantic Ocean and west of the Pacific Ocean, and below that, they're not going to be interested in paying you. Now,
why is that?
Well, because we cycle the carbon. Okay. We can't store it. It doesn't get nearly cold enough here to be able to store it.
Okay.
In the winter, and it
doesn't. You talking about today's not cold enough?
No, it's not. And that's a good reason not to live up there, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Now, if you're a farmer in Minnesota or Michigan or Canada, there's probably a good chance you're going to get paid for that carbon offset for some giant company who needs it someday. But right now, in the Southern Plains, it's just not going to happen. We can't store it. We're too arid. But even where it rains a lot, let's say Arkansas. I've got customers over there. They cycle so fast because of the moisture they're not going to be able to store carbon. They're using it. They're using it way too fast.
Okay.
So if you had hopes of being able to sell or lease or rent carbon offsets, it won't happen for you here. There's a couple of other problems with it, even for those guys in the north, and that is that carbon number is like your blood pressure. It's constantly changing, and we have no way right now to measure it. So it's a shot in the dark. I mean, we can get a number today. That number will be different tomorrow or a week from then. So it's not constant enough, and we haven't developed nationally. We haven't developed a way to really measure carbon.
Right.
It's just the hot topic right now.
And it's all a guess.
It's strictly a guess. It's a, what do they call it, a swag.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. That's a good word.
It's a swag.
Swag.
Yeah. And that's a stretch, even at that.
Yeah, because I've been reading about the carbon deal for the last 6 to 8 months since I started the show, and I keep thinking, I'm going to come across an article that's going to get my attention and somebody acts like they know what they're talking about. And to this day yet, I have not come across that. All they're doing is they're talking about it.
That's right.
There's nothing they can do about it. There's nothing, like you said, measure it. And so why do we even want to talk about it?
Well, it's just the buzz right now. It just is. And a year from now, they'll be talking about something else. But for the Southern Plains, it's just not going to be an income stream for you at all.
Right.
Not, maybe 25 years from now, but not now.
I'd rather them focus on cover crops and carbon.
Absolutely. Focus on if the federal, the USDA and FSA, NRCS, whoever, if they would pay the farmers $100 an acre to give them the incentive to grow cover crops, it would change everybody's life for the better.
Yeah.
It absolutely. And well, I know that I sell cover crops, but I'm just telling you, it works. It absolutely works.
Well, one thing I know about you, unless I miss something down there, you're not going to sell anything you don't believe in anyway.
No, because my family's been here forever.
Yeah.
And I have to be able to deal with people, and I'm just not going to tell the lie.
Right.
It's not.
I'm remembering, because we got about 2 minutes left here, I got Kent Watkins from SEI Agritech in here. I want to bring this up again. It's going to be cold, and this is a major winter storm. If anything comes out of the FSA at any office in our listening area or from the Texas A&M deal over at FSA over on our Texas side, to our neighbors to the west, if something happens this winter storm and you have cattle and you do lose some, which I hope you don't, make sure you're keeping good records and taking pictures, and those pictures got to have dates on them. So if you take them with your iPhone, it's stored in there with a date on it. That ain't no big deal. So keep that in mind. I don't want to wish nothing bad on nobody, but storms can change.
Yes.
And they can. What else you got? You want to? Can you do some more research on carbon for the next time you're
That pretty much exhausts my attention span on carbon.
Well, I'm glad you brought it up today, because again, I've been seeing a lot of that, a lot on all the ag webs about carbons, and it's coming out of Washington. It started in Washington, and then now you got all these experts on carbon, but I have not read an article good enough to call somebody and say, you want to come on the show and tell me how this is going to work, because I don't think anybody knows.
They don't know, and I doubt if anybody wants to.
And the one that knows might not want to come on, because a year from now it might not matter.
Yeah, and it's going to change. Those carbon numbers change, so it's not something we can quantify right now.
Well, thanks again for coming in.
Appreciate it.
The music's coming in, and everybody, Kent's operations down there on
South Randall.
I wanted to say Washington, but I'm a mile off there. But anyway, South Randall here in Elk City, he's got a really nice operation going on down there. Got any questions, give him a call at SEI Agritech. You guys stay warm. Take care of your animals. make sure you drain your water hoses, because if you leave them out today, you're not going to unthaw them for, unless you got a heated barn or something. But anyway, take care. It's Today in Ag. God bless.
Oh, come on. This is fun, right? Isn't this fun? This is nice. KECO Elks.